Brother Jesse, amen. Well, amen. It's good to have everybody home, and I'm excited tonight to say we have a good preacher here to preach for us tonight, amen. And that good preacher is going to be Dr. Bradley. Dr. Bradley's going to come and bring the message for us tonight. I asked him to do so. And it's brand new year, somebody who definitely feels the being faithful and true, especially not only did he train me in the Bible college, but he has been a great servant to me, not only in the area of being at the college, but even since I've become the pastor, he's always asked me, preacher, what can I do for you? Preacher, how can I help you? So we appreciate him. He's our not only just a professor, but I think we could label him staff evangelist, bus driver, and all the other things. Preacher tonight. Amen. Really appreciate you, brother.
Amen. All right. Happy 2022. Amen. Amen. We sure don't know what 2022 holds, but thank God we know who holds 2022. Amen. Amen. How many of you made some New Year's resolutions? Anybody? A couple of you are willing to admit it. Amen. You know, I was reading that the vast majority of people failed to keep their resolutions even through the month of January, let alone the whole year. And I think I know why. It's because they just set the bar too high. You know, they just set these unattainable goals and these out-of-reach goals. So I think that can be a source of discouragement, disappointment. You know, you set out to do something different this year, make something better this year, and then you get a week or two into it and you either fail at it or forget all about it. So what I did for you, I compiled a list of other people's New Year's resolutions that I read or that I heard, and I've titled this New Year's Resolutions You Can Actually Keep. Number one here, you could resolve to gain weight this year. Amen. It might work for you. You could resolve to exercise less. Cancel that gym membership. Amen. Here's one we could all relate to. You could resolve to eat more junk food. Amen. Read less books. Resolve to watch more TV. Amen. Here's one I'm personally taking on as a challenge this year. I resolve to become a better procrastinator. Amen. I might wait a while on that one. I haven't decided if I'm going to start that one right away. Some of you, with all the gift-giving and expenditures of the holidays, you've already started this one. You could resolve to go deeper in debt in 2022. Resolve to max out your credit cards this year, amen? Now, I don't know if I'd recommend this one or not, but I read one fella said he resolved to spend less time with his kids this year, amen? Here's one. You could resolve to make better bad decisions, amen? And these last couple are two-part. One guy said, I resolved to quit using the same old excuses for being late for work all the time. I'm going to find some new excuses. Amen. And here's the last one. Somebody resolved to quit all their bad habits, and they said, never mind, nobody likes a quitter. Amen. So anyway, those are some New Year's resolutions possibly you can actually keep, so hopefully that'll be an encouragement to you. That might be a bigger help than the messages, so I wanted you to get a hold of that before the preaching starts. Here, and I'll conclude with this, not the sermon, that hadn't started yet, but this part of it anyway. Yeah, some of you got real excited right then, didn't you? This is an actual letter that was discovered. Dear New Year's Resolutions, well, it was fun while it lasted. Sincerely, January 2nd. Amen. So that's how it is. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation. All the way near the end of the book, chapter 21. Now, we all have plans and goals and maybe a vision of what's going to happen in the year 2022. But I got thinking, boy, wouldn't 2022 be a wonderful year for the Lord Jesus to come back? Amen. I think that was mentioned the other night in Watch Night service, but I just want to say amen to that and repeat that thought. Amen. It'd be a wonderful year to go to heaven, wouldn't it? Now, I don't necessarily want to die this year, but if we could just all go collectively, if we could just all go together in the rapture, I think that'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? So I want to kind of go in that direction tonight, the Lord willing. Revelation chapter 21, let's begin reading in verse number 1, and I'm going to read the first four verses, and then we'll skip down to verse 9 and read a couple more. And the Word of God says, this is John the Revelator writing about what God allowed him to see, these end time prophecies. And he said there in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Boy, that's a little depressing. For those of us that like to go to the beach anyway, there's no more sea. Can't take a day off in heaven and run down to the beach. Amen. Okay, I didn't get any amens out of that. We'll move on. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And now look at verse number 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." And we could read on the rest of the chapter, the description of this beautiful city, where, by the way, folks, if you're saved like I am, that's that beautiful city we're headed to. Amen? And I'm going to stop reading there. Let's pray together, and we'll get right into the message tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we just thank you for your word. We thank you for blessing us with a brand new year to look forward to. And Lord, there is still work to be done. There are still souls to be saved. There are still years, possibly, of the opportunity for us to glorify you with our lives and to love you and worship you and point others toward you. And Father, we just thank you for this, the dawning of a brand new year to look forward to serving God together. And Father, help us tonight. Speak to our hearts as the word of God is preached. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Several years ago, when my kids were smaller and I was younger, my wife is still young, by the way, but back when I was younger, we were invited to stay at a beautiful condo in a resort in just a beautiful part of the state of Florida. And this family let us stay there as their guests for a week. And, you know, it's like somebody made the observation, the only thing better than owning a condo at the beach is having a friend that owns a condo at the beach. Amen. And that applies to a lot of things, doesn't it? I've heard that about boats and, you know, mountain vacation homes and all the rest. But anyway, the place where we were was just absolutely beautiful, gorgeous part of the state, and beautiful homes and just beautiful resort area, just these very nice condos and things, very expensive. The kind of place that my family and I don't really get to see all that often, amen? So we pulled up in front of the building where we were staying, and Terry and the kids jumped out of the truck and took off inside, and they left me with all the luggage in the truck. You say, well, how much luggage could you possibly have for just a week-long vacation? With two girls along for the ride, you would be surprised, amen. Two of the full suitcases were nothing but their power tools for their hair. You know, they got power dryers and power straighteners and power curlers and all the rest of it. I mean, there was luggage and, you know, pillows and blankets and towels, as if, you know, nobody that's ever stayed in that condo before had, you know, bedding and towels to dry off with. So we had to bring all that from home. And so I'm lugging the suitcases, and I'm just like right now, I'm grouching about it the whole time, you know, while Terry and the kids are in there. And I don't know what she was doing, but the kids are already fighting over who got the second bedroom and who had to sleep in the living room on the couch for the week and all that. And I'm grumbling, I'm mad. Sorry, no good kids making me carry all the luggage inside by myself, bring them all the way down here to the beach, and they act like they're on vacation or something, amen. So I'm dragging suitcases and bags and pillows and blankets into the condo and doing what needed to be done, but just grumbling about it under my breath the whole time. And then my wife says, come here, honey, let me show you something. And she opened up the sliding glass door. You went in the front door, regular storm door on the front, but then the back door of the condo was just a picture window. It was like a big double French door thing, sliding glass door. And I looked out that window, and she slid open that door, and that ocean breeze kind of wafted inside the condo, that salt air. And I looked outside, and I heard the waves and saw the waves crashing on the beach. And all of a sudden, I wasn't mad anymore. And all of a sudden, everything was right in the universe, amen, right then and there. And, you know, it was just beautiful. The Atlantic Ocean, just, it was getting into the evening, but not quite dark. The sun setting and just the waves sparkling under the sun, you know, like a million shiny diamonds out there. Just absolutely beautiful. And I want you to notice something about the text here in Revelation chapter 21. We're talking about the vision that God gave to the Apostle John. And we know John's been busy. He's been burdened. He's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Word of God, and basically just left there to die. And then the Lord Jesus shows up to him on that rock island there off the coast of Greece, this Isle of Patmos, and he begins by telling John, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And John begins dutifully writing the book of Revelation as the Lord Jesus dictates it to him. And in heavenly vision, John sees everything from the condition of the churches in his day all the way through this 2,000 years or more now of the church age. And John has seen the rapture. He's seen the judgment seat of Christ. He has seen the seven-year tribulation period. He has seen the marriage supper of the Lamb. He has seen, you know, the fate of those who missed the rapture. And by the way, you don't want to miss the rapture. John saw the awful, terrible things that are going to happen to those that are left behind when the rapture takes place, and the awful suffering, the misery, the everything they're going to have to endure. John wrote about men crying out for rocks and mountains to fall on them and crush them and put them out of their misery, but they want to die. They can't die. It's going to be an awful, awful time, and the Lord let John see all that. And then John saw the Lord coming back to the earth in glory at the end of the tribulation, but also coming back in judgment. He's seen the battle of Armageddon. He's seen the millennial kingdom of Christ, and he's seen the great white throne judgment of those who are condemned there and cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, where they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. John's seen a lot. He'd been through a lot. His heart, no doubt, was heavy and burdened and broken. But then God sends an angel to the Apostle John right here in Revelation chapter 21 after everything that John has experienced, everything that he's witnessed and seen. And the angel says to John, come here, John, let me show you something. Now, that's the Bradley translation, amen. In verse 9 here in the book of Revelation, the angel said, come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. But basically what the angel was saying, John, come here, let me show you something. I believe that what John saw took his breath away. I believe there's no beachfront ocean view that can match what John was privileged to see, what the Lord Jesus showed him about this holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, and a new heaven and a new earth. And he saw a city whose light was the glory of God, and he saw a city whose street was pure gold, and he saw walls and gates of jasper and pearls and sapphires and diamonds and emeralds and all manner of precious stone. The angel said to John, come here, John, let me show you something. And John said there in verse number 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And the angel said, John, you see that beautiful city down there? And you see all those people down there, John? Let me tell you something about that city. Nobody cries there. The Bible says in our text, go back to verse number 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. John, nobody cries there. Did you notice that death is only mentioned in Revelation 21:4 one time, but sorrow and tears and crying are mentioned three times? Why do you suppose that is? Here's my guess. Under normal circumstances, most of us are only going to die once. But for a lot of folks, every single day of life is filled with sorrow and filled with pain and filled with tears and filled with all these awful things that God says that when we reach this place in that holy city, the New Jerusalem, those things aren't even going to exist anymore. John, look at this beautiful city. Nobody cries there. Amen. All of us shed tears, don't we? All of us experience sorrow and crying in our lives. And The Bible says in the book of Job, man that is born of a woman, I'm guessing that that would include most of us in this crowd, amen? Amen. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Later on in the same book, it says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the Lord Jesus promised us. Now, I love the promises in the Bible, don't you? Amen. But I don't love all the promises in the Bible. Because one of the promises to the faithful child of God is that in this world ye shall suffer persecution. Ye shall suffer tribulation. You know, you've heard that saying, no pain, no gain. I'd settle for no pain, wouldn't you? You know, life is full of experiences like that. And we live in a sin-cursed world. That's the reason for it. All the trouble and all the suffering and all the sorrow and all the heartbreak and all the pain and all the tears and even all the death is due to the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. The Word of God tells us it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Bad things happen to good people. And sometimes really bad things happen to really good people. But that's just called life, isn't it? Might as well go ahead and get used to it. You know, it's not always fair, is it? It's not always fun. It's not always enjoyable. It's not always pleasurable. Sometimes life can be just downright miserable. It can be hurtful, sometimes confusing. Sometimes it just doesn't seem right, does it? Now think about the Apostle John. He was not exiled to the Isle of Patmos for any wrong that he had done. He wasn't guilty of any crime. He was a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had served God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might for many, many years, been loyal to the Lord. He's called in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, he identified himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it was this same John that leaned on the Lord's bosom at the Last Supper. And yet here we find John at probably around 90 years old, at the stage of his life when he should have been enjoying his golden years, maybe snowbirding in Florida, amen, who knows. After faithfully dedicating decades of his life to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and John finds himself stuck out on a prison island, basically, dropped off on the Isle of Patmos, left there to die. Now, we're not told exactly how John felt about being on that little rock called Patmos, that little prison island. I'm sure that during his stay there, he experienced both highs and lows. I'm sure that John's heart soared when the Lord Jesus gave him those heavenly visions of the marriage supper of the Lamb and the crowns that will be casting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and all the beautiful sights that John saw there, that heavenly vision God gave him and the victory that John would ultimately experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm sure his heart was sore when the Lord showed him the misery and the suffering of those who once again will be left behind at the rapture, have to go through the tribulation period, and then that awful, awful scene that God allowed John to see, the judgment, the great white throne judgment, the final condemnation of those whose names are not found in the book of life. And then just about at the right time, as John is burdened and his heart is heavy and maybe under the weight of everything he'd been experiencing and his heart broken for the lost, just at the right time, God sends an angel to John, and the angel says, come here, John, let me show you something. You see that beautiful, wonderful city coming down from God out of heaven? You know something about that wonderful city? Nobody cries there, John. And John, let me tell you something else about that place. Nobody dies there. Back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it says, there shall be no more death. You know, death, God calls death the last enemy. Death is not our friend, it's our enemy. It's so final. Somebody dies, that's it. They're not coming back, at least not in this present form, in this present time. It's so final, there's no changing it, there's no undoing it. Most of us in this room tonight have been to way too many funerals already here in just the past couple of years. And it's going to continue to be that way until the Lord Jesus comes back or until God calls us home. Death is a part of life. It's the most unpleasant part of life. That's why God calls it our enemy. A few years ago, between my wife's family and my family, we had quite a time of it when it came to losing those who are near and dear to us through this enemy called death. My father-in-law died in late May of, was it 2015? 16? 10 days later, my mother-in-law died. I was asked to take part in my father-in-law's funeral. Now, I love my father-in-law. I guess as far as father-in-laws go, he was about as good as you could get when it comes to, you know, how it is with father-in-laws and mother-in-laws and that kind of thing. But anyway, I was asked to have a part in the graveside service and read a passage of Scripture. And I got to tell you, folks, that's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. My heart was broken. Those gathered around the graveside, my wife and family members that were there, and at the time when her mom was still alive, and friends that were gathered around, church family and that at the graveside, and I made a vow to myself I was not going to make eye contact with anybody because I knew I was going to fall apart, but I just couldn't help myself. And I'm standing there by that grave with an open Bible, open up to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And you folks know about the many mansions that the Lord Jesus told us about and coming again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. And I was going to read that passage of Scripture to try to comfort hearts and try to bring some relief from the pain and the loss that was being experienced there. But I looked into the eyes of those folks that had lost that man that they so dearly loved as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, and it broke me. And death is a hard thing, isn't it? It's a painful thing. It's an awful thing. We finished up our summer travels and my summer meetings and made it home just a few weeks later, first part of August of that year, and got in late on a Sunday night. Monday morning, the phone rang, and my little brother, who used to live with my mom right across the street here for several years in the Eastwood Apartments, my little brother called and said, Mom fell last night in her bedroom, and I could hardly get her up off the floor and back in the bed, and her leg's all swollen up, and I think she might have hurt it. And so my wife and I jumped in the car and just went over there as fast as we could. And when we got there, my wife discovered that both of my mom's legs were swollen up a lot larger than obviously they should have been. And she recognized that not as a leg injury, but a sign of congestive heart failure, which is what her mom had just died from a couple months prior to that. So they took my mom by ambulance up to the hospital, and they kept her there and tried to treat her and determine that there was possibly a surgery they could do. They would have had to move her to Orlando and do this surgery, and they said she probably won't survive it anyway. She's so weak by now. So they kept her in the hospital for a few days and then put her in a nursing home for rehab, and hospice was called in and all that, just basically, you know, just keep her as comfortable as possible until she dies. Every day on my way home from work at the college, I'd stop by the nursing home and I'd check in on my mom, and I'd spend some time with her, and I'd pray with her, and I'd sing with her, and we'd read Scripture together, and I'd try to encourage her a little bit. And every day it was the same response I got from my mom. I just want to go home. I just want to sit in my own chair. I just want to sleep in my own bed. I just want to go home. And I said, Mom, I promise you this, the day you can get up out of that bed and walk out this door with me, I'll take you home. Wednesday evening, September the 14th of 2016, on my way home from work, I stopped by the nursing home once again to visit with my mom, and same deal I'd heard for all those weeks she'd been in there prior to that. I just want to go home. And I told her the same thing I'd been telling her in response all those weeks. Mom, get up out of that bed and walk out to the car with me and I'll take you home. But she was so weak she couldn't even sit up in the bed on her own, let alone get up out of the bed and walk out to the parking lot. So I visited with her for a while, and I kissed her on the forehead, and I said, Mom, I'll see you tomorrow. But for Mom, tomorrow never came. About midnight that night, the phone rang, and I knew when the phone ringing woke me up what the message was going to be. And I picked up the phone and said hello, and the first thing that the lady on the other end of the phone said, Mr. Bradley, your mom passed away just a few minutes ago. Then just a few months later, April of the next year, they found my middle brother. I had two younger brothers. One of them is still around. One of them is now at the Lord. They found my middle brother, who was an over-the-road truck driver, dead in the sleeper of his 18-wheeler somewhere on the side of the road in the state of Texas. And we were just being hit from all sides. And again, it's not just me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because we're all living through this. This year alone, three very near and dear to my heart preacher friends of mine have gone on home to heaven. And another dear preacher friend lost his wife this year. She went home to be with the Lord. And death is all around us. And if we live long enough, death is coming for us. But God showed John this beautiful, wonderful place, this beautiful city. And he said, John, nobody dies there. There's no more death there. There's no more funerals. There are no funeral homes there. There are no funeral parlors there. There are no graveyards there. Death, what Jesus in the Word of God says, is the last enemy. Death, that is the result of sin in this world. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's coming for all of us. We can all make plans of what we're going to do when we retire and where we're going to relocate to, possibly what we're going to do, how we're going to live out our golden years. But here's the one thing we can bank on: if Jesus doesn't come back first, we're only going to live till we die. But there's a place where that horrible, awful, final death does not exist. Then the angel says, come here, John, let me show you something. You see that beautiful city? No one cries there. John, let me tell you something else about that wonderful place. Nobody dies there. And John, let me show you something else about that place. Nobody hurts there. Look once again at verse number 4 in Revelation chapter 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Nobody hurts there. There's all kinds of pain that we experience in this life. Physical pain, emotional pain, and probably what's worst of all is spiritual pain. I was reading this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 14, a little while ago. The Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I've known dear, precious folks that are part of this church that have suffered physically, horribly suffered physically. I'm a lot bigger sissy than they are. If I hurt anywhere near the way they hurt, that'd be my excuse to stay in bed and not come to church. Amen. But there are folks that'll drag themselves out of bed and hurt every step of the way of making it into this building because they love the Lord and they love this church that much. It's not the physical pain that's the worst pain. It's that wounded spirit. And there are times we're all going to experience some semblance of that as well. Except when we get to that beautiful city, that beautiful heaven, where there neither shall there be any more pain. We live in a world full of pain. That's because this world's under a curse. Pain is a part of life, isn't it? But there's a place. And John saw it when the angel showed it to him, where there's no pain anymore. Neither shall there be any more pain. Nobody hurts there. There are no hospitals there. There are no cancer wards there. There are no COVID wards with people dying on respirators there. And there are no sick beds there. And everybody loves everybody there. And nobody hurts anybody there. Amen. You know what I think will be missing on the front doors of our mansions in heaven? Deadbolts and locks and chains on the doors. There'd be no need for those things. Amen. Amen. But you know, what to me personally is the most special thing about that city that we're told about in Revelation chapter 21, besides the fact that nobody cries there, no tears will be shed there, nobody dies there, nobody hurts there, the most amazing thing to me, what's even more special to me, is that one day I'm going to be there. Amen. One day I'm going to live there. That breathtaking view from the condo on the beach. I enjoyed that. I mean, that was just tremendous. It's just like therapy for me. I just breathe some of that salt air and look for the dolphins jumping off the coast, you know, watch the pelicans flying around and watch the waves, listen to the waves crashing in. My wife and I will turn off the air conditioner and open the windows and the doors all night long just so we can go to sleep to the sound of those waves lapping on the shore if we're that close, that kind of thing like that. You know, I believe if I could have an ocean sunrise or an ocean sunset every morning, every evening for the next 50 years, by the end of 50 years worth, I might finally start to get a little bit tired of it and bored with it, amen. But that's beautiful. I enjoy that. And the Bible says that God hath given us all things richly to enjoy. And I believe his creation, nature, is part of those all things he gave us richly to enjoy. But I don't live there. I can't afford to live there. The folks that actually lived there, they were kind to us. They were friendly. They were neighborly. But they looked at the car we pulled up in, and they talked with us a little bit, and they soon figured out that we really didn't belong there. I told my wife the very first day of our week's vacation, as soon as we walked into that condo and saw where we were for the week, I said, "We're not leaving." I said, "We are claiming squatters' rights. They're going to have to throw us out of here." And they would have, amen, if we had tried to stay too long after our week was up, that's for sure. But, you know, so anyway, eventually we left on our own. We didn't wait to get thrown out. We actually left when we were supposed to. But that city that the angel showed John, that city where nobody cries and nobody dies and nobody hurts, you know, I couldn't afford to pay the price to live there either. I don't belong there. It's a sinless place. I'm a sinner. It's a holy place. I'm unholy. It's a godly place. I'm not very godly most of the time. And I know some of you looking at me like your halo screwed on too tight, but you're not either. None of us deserves to live there. If there was a price that God demanded of us to pay to get there, none of us could afford to pay that price. But you know, I don't have to claim squatter's rights in heaven. Nobody's ever going to try to evict me or throw me out. Just like David said in Psalm 23, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. That's the city I'm going to. That's the city that God allowed John to see in that heavenly vision. You know, life's going to get us down. And now we have big hopes and aspirations and ambitions for 2022. And there's not a thing wrong with that. Everybody ought to have a goal. You know, we were given our reports the other night. And we in the Fishers of Men group, the Saturday morning soul winning group, I think 196 souls saved last year. And far as I know, as long as I've been connected with that group these last many years, that's the best year for soul winning we've ever had. But I sure would like to have a better year this year. And we can see big numbers on the buses again if God will bless us that way. And we can see another great anniversary Sunday. I remember not too many years ago, we had over 400 saved on the property on anniversary Sunday alone. Amen. God can do that again. He's not through yet. But in spite of our best plans and hopes and dreams for the year, I promise you this, some bad stuff's going to come along too. And life's going to get us down again. And life's going to seem to have us discouraged and defeated again. And we're going to shed tears again. And we're going to have sorrow again. And we're going to continue to live in a world that winds up in nothing but death. But let me show you something. There's something waiting for the child of God on the other side. No matter how bad it gets here. No matter how good it gets here. The best is yet to come. Amen. That wonderful, beautiful place we call heaven. Nobody cries there. Nobody dies there. Nobody hurts there. And I know that I know that I know. Amen. That one day I'm going there. How about you? You know, there's only one way to get there. And that's by you placing your faith and your trust and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. You say, "But preacher, that was 2,000 years ago." But 2,000 years ago, hanging on that cross, he saw your need to be saved. Right. He hung there and died on that cross and shed his blood for you. He was buried in that borrowed tomb, and then 3 days later, under his own power, his own authority as Almighty God, he raised himself from the dead for you, for me. I'm going to that beautiful city that John described for us in Revelation 21. I hope you are too. Amen. If you don't know for sure that you're on your way to that beautiful city, that you're going to wind up in that new heaven, that new earth that John's describing here, you don't have to leave this building tonight not knowing that. You can know that for sure. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation time, and simply what that means is when the music begins to play, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, you get up out of your seat and you make your way down the nearest aisle and come right down here to the front, and we will pair you up with somebody to take the word of God and take a few moments of your time and kneel with you or sit with you on the front row here and open the word of God and very simply and very sweetly and shortly show you how you can pillow your head tonight knowing that your final destination is that beautiful city that we've talked about tonight. Let's bow our heads together, please. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians are on their way. If God's already spoken to your heart tonight, you don't have to wait for the music. You can be making your way down the aisle right now. But as the music begins, whatever your need is tonight, especially, most importantly, if you need to be saved, would you come? Maybe 2022 is already beating you up a little bit. Maybe only 2 days into it, you've already encountered some disappointment, a little bit of discouragement. Well, maybe tonight what you need to do as a child of God that knows you're going to that city, you just find your place, a spot at this old-fashioned altar, and just thank God that that's where you're headed. Thank God that the worst that it can get in this life is just a temporary setback anyway. It only gets better from here for the child of God. Whatever your need is tonight, as the music plays, as we sing, would you come?
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Would you bow your head with me tonight as the music plays? We want to make sure that we give you an open invitation. Dr. Bradley preached about a place that we want to see everybody that's made their way into the building, or those that are even listening by radio or watching from home. We want to make sure that you know for sure that you're on your way to that place, that you'll spend eternity there. And the only way you're going to see that place is to accept God's Son as your payment, the finished work of Calvary, and take Him as your own. And tonight, if you're here and you want to walk the aisle and do that, we want you to do that. We want to give you opportunity. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender
tonight. As we think about all that we've heard tonight and just thinking about heaven, wouldn't it be great if we spent a year telling other people that they could go to that place?
Amen.
I mean, as we head towards Anniversary Sunday and the great opportunities, we've said it as, if you weren't here for Watch Night, one of the things that we mentioned was just the number of rooftops that have already been approved, not for Davenport and all the surrounding cities, but just for Haines City, another 12,000 homes right here in our city before probably the end of 2022. And you say, well, you know, the first thing that we go to is how in the world are we ever going to get in Walmart? How are we going to get down the road? But you know, God has prepared a place for every one of those folks if they would just trust Christ. He's made a way for every one of them to go to heaven, and I guarantee you not all 12,000 of them have assurance of heaven. And the job that God has placed us for here in this town is to be a shining light, a lighthouse, as Brother Jesse sang tonight, to the lost and dying world. Our radio station does that. Senior Patriot does that. Every part of our ministry does that. And what it would be a great, great, great year if we spent it again, continuing to give the old story to folks that need it. Amen. So we want you to pray about that. Invite somebody to be with you here for Anniversary Sunday. It's not too early. It's never too early to do that. And do this for me. You tell Brother Bradley, thank you. I called and asked him to preach for me tonight. I felt like we needed that charge. And it's good to be reminded that there's a place waiting. Amen. Amen. There's a better rest prepared for the saints. Amen. And so we need to get to work. Right? Not rest. We got a better rest prepared. Amen. But, you know, that would require us not procrastinating. Amen. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for the message tonight. We thank you for the place that you have prepared for us, Lord. What a wonderful place to think about and to know that we know that we know. But God, help us to realize that as sure as heaven is for us, there are others that are on their way to a devil's hell. God, help us to be faithful witnesses of the God that we love to the lost and dying world. Help us now. Give us safety as we travel home. And God, give us a burden in our hearts. Help us to wear our buttons. Help us to do all that we can do to be a witness faithfully and true in 2022. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.